Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This episode we have Mario and Michael Andretti. Two separate interviews looking back at the 1992 Indy 500. For Mario, it was a painful day. One that met in the wall, very cold conditions, and left him with foot injuries, leg injuries. Not a good day for him. Mario's son Jeff suffered the worst injuries of the day. Did a feature on racer.com. Also have a podcast about that with Jeff, about how the 1992 race 25 years ago definitely changed his life. And then we have Michael, who walked away from the race perfectly intact physically. We know that mentally took a toll. You talk about dominating a race, doing everything possible to win, but win. Let down by his car after absolutely crushing everybody. I mean, just destroying the field like we have rarely seen before. But frankly, like his father did in 1987, 5 years earlier. Just true dominance, true mastery. 1992 was meant to be Michael's year till the final laps, when unfortunately motor problem made sure that that didn't happen. So this 1992 race, three members of the Andretti family, Mario, Michael, and Jeff, painful for two, ending up in the hospital, especially painful for one in terms of lingering, in terms of loss, inability to win the race for Michael. Spoke with the two of them on this 25-year mark going into Sunday's race. Both of them were gracious to talk about it. Mario has some very poignant points, as does Michael. It's not something that Michael usually likes to speak about, but this is one where he opened up. You can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes. We also have our Facebook page, Marshall Pruitt Podcast, where you can sign up, follow, and do a variety of other things to make sure you get all the archives that we have. And off we go with Mario and Michael Andretti.
You know, another thing I was thinking of recently, Mario, is this year is the 25th anniversary of the super close finish between Scott Goodyear and Alan Sir Jr., 92. I think that's what many people remember, closest finish in history and wonderful. There are some other aspects to that day that weren't so positive with a lot of the crashes. I know that also struck home with your son as well. What is that the overriding memory for you from 92 of just how cold it was and how it just seemed like, you know, so few people could stay on track?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, just one of those years where obviously, you know, I'm in a hospital from a mistake that I made because what's happening on the last pit stop. Actually, it was, you know, I was running pretty good. I was right up front, and it was during the yellow, and I would have got out, you know, just in time. I'd have been in good shape, and instead the right front, old Donnie cross-threaded, the thing, and
the wheel nut,
and so by the time I went, I was in the back of the field. So what I did, I figured I'm going to be easy on the gearbox. I didn't spin in the tires, you know, to try to take the glaze away from the tires. So I took off easily. I figured I'm in the back anyway. And so when obviously the green went, I was in the back, and I figured, shit, I'm going to pick up half the field before I get to the start finish line. And I really dove down, I mean, really forced it down on the apron, and, you know, the inevitable happened. You know, I think if I would have just taken that, you know, glaze away from the rears, which I do that, I even do that with a two-seater now, you know, I don't get caught out again, you know, but, and everything went wrong because, you know, as you said, the temperature of the day and everything, and I was, you know, it's something that I really was forcing, you know, so I made a stupid mistake. And I'm in a hospital, and while, you know, they had me on ice because they, I think Emerson was there. There were some others, you know, so get in line, you know what I mean? So I didn't have anything, you know, threatening at my feet and so forth. And all of a sudden we hear code three, you know, and I hear Andretti, and I hear Jeff, and then I remember, one of the doctors, I should remember his name, Becker or something. One of the doctors kept coming over to me. He says, Mario, says, Michael's leading. Giving me courage, you know, because they, you know, I was in pain, you know, so to give me, you know, some, tried to put me away a little bit, you know.
happy pills.
And meanwhile, you know, Jeff was being cared for, you know, and so forth with his injuries. And all of a sudden I wake up kind of from a daze. And I'm saying, oh, the race is over. I said, nobody's coming over to congratulate me. And so I asked the nurse, I says, who won the race? She said, are you sure you want to know? I said, oh, my God. And that's Michael, lap lead.
Almost two laps lead,
9 laps to go. Oh, my goodness. I said, oh, gosh, you know. I said, at least we're alive. I said, but, you know, God.
What a day.
What a day.
Not one to remember.
So it was just amazing. So anyway, but
And the footnote to that story is, the next year, our pal Anthony Joseph Hoyt stayed out after everybody pitted. He stayed out to try and he wanted to lead one more lap because Mario's led one more lap than he has at Indy. And he ran out of fuel. And made him
crazy. There's a part that I just believe in another life, AJ might have been Benny Hill. You know, there's just the comedic soundtrack.
But that just shows you how cruel Indy was to your family and how many laps you led and how many laps Michael led. And you won the race one time between you. And it's two of the most dominating guys that have ever been there. It's just it's just that place. It's crazy stuff. Yeah.
What comes to mind? Your dad got hurt. Your brother got hurt. You damn near won the thing. I don't know if it's something I would just want to put out of my memory altogether, or you live with it okay today.
Well, you got to live with it, but you know, I look at that day as should have been the best day of my career. Ended up being the worst day of my career, you know. And as I retired, that's what it ended up being. It was just a horrible day when, God, it was like. To dominate this race the way we did, I mean, we were 5 miles per hour quicker than anybody else. I mean, my quickest lap was literally 5 miles per hour quicker than anybody else had run. And it's like, it was the easiest day of my life. But in terms of the car being so good, but yet it was a really difficult race because first my dad crashes. And okay, then I get the report that, you know, he broke some feet, but he's going to be okay. And then Jeff crashes and it's like, I saw his car when I was going around and I knew it was really bad and I never got a report. So every yellow I'd be like, so what's going on and what's going on with Jeff? And nobody ever gave me a report. So at that point, it's almost like you're like, is he even alive? You know?
Jesus, so
it was from keeping your concentration, it was really difficult. And you know, what motivated me to do it was that I said, screw it, I'm going to win this race for Jeff. And then I'm just cruising. I mean, I was just like literally cruising. And I come up on Al Sr., who's driving in the Buick, and I start smelling something. And I'm like, ooh, I think that Buick might be ready to blow. So I'm like, I better get by him. So I pass him. And right when I pass him, the engine just quits. So what I was smelling was my belt and the engine was what was burning. And that was me that I was smelling and not him.
Folks talk about the 94 Indy 500 with the Penske's and how they dominated. And, you know, you still have to remind folks that, yeah, that was pretty cool. But if you watch 92, that sucker was over and done.
The other thing with 92 is I would have literally led every lap of that race if they didn't close the pits. But that was the race that they closed the pits.
Yeah.
So because of that, I would lose the lead, but I'd literally get back in the lead a couple laps later. But I would have literally led every lap of that race if the pits were open all the time.
What is, I guess, the last quick question on this, Michael? What does that feel like when you have a car that is just on a different planet and destroying the field is coming easily? I mean, that happens once a career, twice? I don't know.
It's a great feeling. And unfortunately, I couldn't enjoy it. Because I was just thinking about, you know, my family, you know, with Dad and Jeff. So it's even ruined that. And then not to capitalize on it and then to end up, you know, coming to a stop with 10 laps to go. It's just like, geez, a whiz. I mean, the easiest race of my career turned out to be nothing. I had nothing to show for it except for you know, two of my family members in the hospital.
And that was Mario and Michael Andretti. Definitely a race to forget 25 years ago. Thankfully, Jeff has gone on, recovered somewhat quickly, got back, was actually racing the 93 Indy 500, really pushed hard to get through his rehabilitation. Mario did as well. Michael kept fighting until early 2000s, trying to get that Indy 500 win. Unfortunately, Mario was the only one who was able to get one, 1969. And actually, the one little cool footnote is from 92, although everybody from Mario and his two sons did not have a successful day. John Andretti, son of Mario's brother Aldo, actually was the lead Andretti to come home in the best finishing position. So knowing the cancer fight that John has gone through, there is a little bit of sunshine here at the end of the story. All right, well, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Thank you for listening.